Hello, friends. You're listening to Convos with me, Kathy Clark. Gary and I are the lead pastors at Hillsong Church in the UK, and I'm so happy to have you join us in the conversation today. This program is for you, and really, all we're doing is having a good, honest talk about real-life issues that we all face. So whether you're on your daily commute, you're in the car, or you're at home with a coffee, sit back and I hope you enjoy today's chat. And by the way, don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Use the hashtag ConversWithKathy. Hi everyone, we're at Colour. There's lots of background noise, there's lots of activity going on, but we've had an absolutely fantastic few days. I was going to be chatting to Bob Goff because he was one of our guest speakers and he was just phenomenal. But just as things happen at Colour, there was lots of things, extra things added in, and I just simply could not squeeze it in. But we did not want to miss the opportunity of you all listening and tuning in to a conversation with him. So I asked my very beloved producer, Steph, to step in. And she's jumped in, she's asked him a few questions, she's had a little convo. So I hope you listen and I hope you absolutely love it.
Hi there. So today is day three of our Colour Conference, and I'm so excited to be sitting here about to have a conversation with the seriously one and only Bob Goff. Bob has, of course, been one of our amazing speakers this weekend, but if you're listening today and haven't yet become super familiar with Bob, he is like a big kid, a crazy big kid trapped in older gentleman's body. Can I say that?
Totally. Yeah, when you're 59.
Yes. So you're going to love Bob. Bob is so full of life and whimsy and laughs. And Bob, thank you for being available.
Oh, thanks a million for having me on. I'm just glad we're all together.
Yes, yes, me too. I'm super excited. So you are here with your beautiful wife, Maria.
Yes, sweet Maria Goff came. And we call her Sweet Maria, not because we're trying to talk her into it, but just everybody calls her that. The mailman, the guy at the gas station, everybody just like knows her ever since I met that girl. One thing about her is that she's very shy. And so she never goes anywhere with me, but she came because it's Hillsong.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Probably 300 things. She's like, nah. But then she's like, Hillsong. She's like, let me pack my bags.
It's the feeling's really been mutual, cute. Maria. We are so thrilled that you're here. So how's London treating you guys?
We're having a really good time. It's actually a little warmer than Maui right now. That's the craziest part.
Is it really?
I mean, like, who are you people?
Yeah.
I thought I heard something about rain and all that. You got to change all your pictures.
I agree.
Because you're lying to Earth.
I don't know what people are talking about that it's so gloomy. I mean, I literally love London's weather. Like,
oh,
it's beautiful.
Man. It's been a really great time. And then, as you've experienced, it's always the people that you meet.
Yes,
I mean, you
exactly.
could be in the coldest, darkest place and you meet warm people and you go, it feels like Maui.
It's all makes all the difference, people.
Yeah. So it's just been a great week. We've met many, many people, many women at the Colour Conference that are actually here looking for something. You can tell it in their eye. They're actually looking for some, the same thing we're all looking for, like hope and love and purpose and connection.
Yeah.
A couple like authentic conversations. And this would be the type that people are looking for. They just want to talk about things that matter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, Bob, I'm going to jump in. And actually, you have a new book coming out, so I thought we would give you a chance. Your previous book, Love Does, New York Times bestseller, like the guy on the plane was obviously reading it that you saw and talked about. But I actually listened to it on Audible.
Did you?
Which was really fun to hear you narrate.
Yes. You know what they do? You write the book, and then they say, now we're going to make an audio book, and they put you in a booth with all these pages. And every time I talk about my kids, I start crying. And the first time or two, it was like really cute. But then after like 10 times, he's like, dude, read the words.
Yeah.
So we put this next book, Everybody Always, the same way. It just like it was really a labor of love. I was 5 years and 3 months late on writing the book. They're literally sending me registered mail. Like,
seriously?
Where's the book? I just didn't have anything to say. And then I think we caused all the problems over in the U.S. But everybody was like really on edge. We had people in leadership on edge and all that. And he's our leaders are putting everybody else appropriately on edge.
As a country, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just decided, like, let's write a book about how it's not just easy to, it's not about loving just people that are easy to love, but difficult to love. And they're the people that serve us. They're the people that build our bridges. They're the people that live under the bridges. They're teachers, they're coworkers, they're presidents, they're all kinds of people. And so if you want a report card on your faith, how do you treat the people who are the most difficult in your life?
Yeah.
And so that's, I just wrote down what I'm learning about it. I'm not there. I actually had to write the book twice. Did you know that?
No, I did.
I wrote it one time and I was all done. I was visiting a friend of mine who was a big mega church pastor in LA. And about 5 years ago, he moved to San Francisco just to serve the poor.
Yeah.
And so I go up there pretty often to see him. And while I was inside visiting with him, somebody broke into the van. They took everything, my wallet, the luggage. They took my laptop and the book was on it.
No.
And it wasn't backed up.
No.
Like iCloud. Who needs it? It's like $1 a year. So I had to start all over again. And so this is a very different book. And as we should be, like this whole idea that we're new creations.
Right.
Like I'm 59. I've spent 59 years with old Bob.
Yeah.
But new Bob, I met him like 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
And so we're just getting acquainted. And I think for your listeners too, who's new you?
Exactly.
Like that's the promise of scripture, that it's not the old stuff. And a lot of us don't see who we're becoming because we're so trigger locked in who we've been.
Mm-hmm.
And we're letting that person who we've been talk us out of who we're turning into. And I think the message of the gospel is that we're turning into love. Some of us more slowly than others. Do you know if you want to grow a radish, it takes 20 days, but a pear takes 7 years, right?
So, seriously?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, I'm really amped. Have you noticed? I'm like, I make coffee nervous, but I'm like really amped. And so I'm always trying to plant sod where God's trying to plant seed.
Right. And so does that mean if you pick a pear 3 years in, it's just not ready?
No, the tree won't bear fruit. It'll take 7 years before it throws its first pear.
Gotcha.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, so sometimes what we're doing in, let's say something you want to see God do in your life, if you're amped like me, I'm thinking microwave, but God's thinking crock pot.
Right.
He's thinking like, just let it simmer a little bit. And so instead of drumming your fingers on the dashboard, just chill out a little bit and let God do his thing in his own time. One of the things I learned too when I was writing this new book is what a collective noun is. Did you know that?
Say that again?
A collective noun, like a murder of crows or a crush of hippos, a school of fish. Those are collective nouns. Do you know what a bunch of alligators is?
No idea.
A congregation.
Seriously?
I'm just saying. So there's something
that's
like
not by coincidence.
Sometimes people that are bugging you are the people that are worshiping with you. I think what we need to do is just chill out a little bit and just assume that God's doing something different in their life than he's doing in mine. I mean, it's such a beautiful day out today. And there was a wedding planner praying for sunshine, but there's a farmer praying for rain. It doesn't mean that God didn't like the farmer. He's just up to something different in someone else's life than in the farmer's life. Oh, the crazy guy on the other side of the lake, Jesus rows the boat over, right? And he jumps out and he says he's possessed by demons. I haven't met one of those people, but I've met a lot of crazy people. And so he took all the crazy and threw it into these pigs. And so can you imagine what happened when the farmer got home to his wife that night? And she said, how was your day at work?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it was going great until Jesus took all the crazy and threw it into our pigs and they went off the cliff. And so what was a great day for the guy on the other side of the lake was a lousy day for the pigged farmer. It was even a worse day for the pigs. And so what I want to do is just realize God is up to different things in other people's lives than mine.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And what I've noticed too is that the best chapter titles in our lives come later.
Yes.
I've learned that writing book too. Like say something where you felt rejection.
Yeah.
You give that a little while. Somebody that broke up with you before the prom in high school. And you'll actually retitle that chapter more accurately, release. Or a time that you're feeling prevented. Like give it a little bit. You'll probably call that thing protected. Or a time you've gotten your feelings terribly wounded. You want to write, I'm out.
Yeah.
But then if you give it a while, God will rewrite that thing and it'll be, I'm back.
Yeah, he does.
And so just say, I need to wait for some better chapter titles. When I turned the book in, it had no chapter titles.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, dude, forget something much? I'm like, no, the better ones are coming later. Wow. Oh, do you know something about the book? This whole idea of loving people who creep you out? when you write a book, when you write your memoirs, they'll send you all of these like sample like covers, and they were all hokey. They're people making little hearts with their hands. So I've got a witch doctor school in Gulu, Uganda, and there are some pretty creepy dudes down there. They're the people that creep me out. And so I'm trying to like love the people who creep me out. So I flew down and I said, will you make the cover out of your fingerprints? Those are not balloons on the cover.
Is that what they
are? It's the witch doctor's fingerprints.
So
isn't
cool.
that awesome? So the way to
different colors?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
I just got
that.
A bunch of ink. Like the whole idea, if you want to get to know the people that creep you out, include them in things you do.
Yeah.
So I thought no better thing. They can't spell that great just yet, but they got fingerprints and they're perfect at those.
That gives the whole cover a new life and meaning.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is so cool. Okay. I want to ask you a question. I feel like there's this theme with you as it relates to not giving up, not just loving big, but loving big to the point of, not giving up. And so your story, and you've shared it here about how you pursued Maria for 3 years?
Oh yeah. I'm still pursuing.
Yes,
it's 33 years later. It's crazy.
But how long was the period when she was like not interested?
Oh, 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a long time. That's a long time.
But I dealt with her with gentleness and respect. Sometimes we're people where faith's a big deal for them. They read that verse about, always be ready to make a defense for the hope that's within you. But they forget to read the last sentences. It said, and do it with gentleness and respect.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes people that love Jesus a lot are clubbing other people. They're like mugging them. And I just treat people with gentleness and respect. And that you'd have to believe this underlying principle that Jesus leads people to Jesus, not me and you.
Yeah. So true. It takes off the pressure.
Kind of does. And it also doesn't block people's view. There was a movie back in the 70s, I think it was called Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes.
You remember that movie?
Yes.
I went on the day it opened up. I've never gone back to another movie. Not because it wrecked it. I just don't like being in theaters with
people. Seriously?
Oh, yeah. That's not my jam. So
you just talk to every single person out there and you don't want to be in the theater.
No, not in a movie theater. Just like kind of like seeing it, like saying something's fine, but just like watching and somebody's eating a Snickers bar next to me. Like that just isn't my thing. So, but I went to this movie called Hidden Figures.
Yes.
Right? With Maria. But movie theaters have changed now. Do they do that here in the UK? They serve like meals and somebody's baking a salmon next to them.
Recliners.
Well, there's this guy tossing a salad in front of the person in front of me. And he's a huge guy. I think these figures are still hidden. I couldn't see around him the whole time. I wanted to say down in front. And here's the idea. I don't want to get to heaven and have Jesus say, Bob, you and all your big opinions block somebody's view of me. I want people to meet Jesus. I don't want them meeting my opinions. And so while I've got an opinion about everything, I'm a lawyer. I'm right for a living.
Right.
But I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to be Jesus.
Yeah.
I think we have more people blocking fewer people's view of Jesus and loving people without an agenda. And we were talking next door about that idea that if love has an agenda, it ain't love.
Yes.
It's a program.
Right.
So lose the programs. If your husband, who is courting you at the time, came with a program, there's a name for that, bachelor. Because you never would have gone for that. And people won't go for that either with Jesus. So just love people. That's our job.
Yeah.
It's always been our job. It will always be our job. People grow where they're accepted, not where they're informed.
Yeah.
People know when they're invited versus being welcomed.
Yeah.
Because I've been invited a couple places, and when I got there, I figured out I wasn't actually welcome.
Yes.
But what if we, and there's a lot of people that read a parable about a wedding feast and said, go invite everybody. But if we're not going to welcome people when they come, it'd be better if we didn't invite them.
Yeah.
So just welcome people. And I've sensed that firsthand. I've been around you guys. You're like, you just know how to welcome people.
Yeah.
So keep it up. Keep it up. And you'll mess up a couple times, but don't be too hard on yourself when you do. But use that as that growing experience to say, hey, what could I have done different on that one?
Yeah. Now that you say that, has there ever been a time, a relationship? You talked about the place that you had that burned down.
Yes. Isn't that nuts?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So you obviously know what it is to be pouring your heart out in love and literally watch it burn down. Have you ever had a relationship where you were just giving it your all, loving big, and it just blew up in your face?
Yeah. I'll tell you, there's many people that you'll meet that you'll just have a disagreement with. And I would say get over it so you can continue to grow. But there's other people that are just toxic to be around. They're just actually bad for you. And so I would spend some time reflecting on that. Like, just there'll be some people that are just unhealthy, but I'm not going to just say, well, they're toxic to, is this buy for other people, but you'll know who they are. But for most people that I've just disagreed with, I just am trying to figure out some way to just kind of get past that. You know what I've been doing? I take the people that I've had a hard time with and I've been mailing them cake pops. Do you know what cake pops are?
Yes, yes.
I love these things. Cake pop. Like, they sell them at Starbucks. You know,
right,
they're
exactly.
Like a little cake thing, and it's on
like a
stick.
A lollipop. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll just mail them. I'll write them a little note. I'm like, have a cake pop, Bob. And then when they say something lame on Twitter or whatever, I'm like, oh, that's the guy with the cake pop. So I have some like affinity, like we've connected. It's the best $1.29 you'll ever spend. So one of the things that I'm doing is taking these people that I've just realized that I actually have harbored something against them. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to score that away with them little at a time. So you just, and it comes from Matthew 5. You got to know why you're doing what you're doing. So Matthew 5, if you go to worship and realize when you're there that somebody has something against you, just like leave, go square up and come back. I went to a church. I had everybody stand up and leave because I said, go square up with whoever. Score, and if you don't want to square up with them, don't come back. Actually, I wasn't invited back ever again. But there's actually something really beautiful about that, because I want people to not just agree with Jesus, but actually do what he says, starting with me.
Yeah.
Right? So I need to, if I'm going to take the stage in front, I need to do a little bit of work in the back lot myself.
So true.
To say, there are people that I'm harboring things against. And so you can send a text message. We have all these churches with these signs that say, turn off your cell phones. You walk into a house of God, you turn yours on.
Right.
And send a text message to somebody who's got something against you. Here's the short one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Press send. You know, the long version? Really sorry.
Yeah.
Don't say sorry, you stink. Just say sorry. Like, that really got weird there for a while.
Yeah.
And there's something actually beautiful that'll happen in your life. Maybe it'll happen in theirs, but that's not your concern. You say, I really want to be squared with what God's saying. James 1:22. Like, don't just believe these things and deceive yourself, but do what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of obeying. There's a friend of mine that got a diagnosis a week or two ago in Houston. He's got cancer and it's not a great diagnosis. And I didn't want him down there all alone. And James 5 says, are you sick? Bring the elders. And I look older than the crypt keepers. So I got down there and it says, anoint them with oil. And that's not part of my faith tradition. We just don't do that where
okay.
I grew up.
Okay.
So I thought, well, what the heck? I'll just go to the grocery store. I'll get some Wesson oil. We'll hook them up. Well, there's no grocery stores near the hospital. There was a Burger King. So it literally went there. He went into the MRI smelling like French fries. But I'm trying to just actually obey what God says instead
right.
of just agree with all of it. Because agreeing with Jesus, that's low-hanging fruit. It's obeying him. But don't just
yes.
obey him with easy people. Find somebody who creeps you out.
Yeah.
And obey them. Ask them a question like, how are you?
Right.
But don't you stop there. Like, then once you just say, are you? So tell me about your week. Like, what's been the high and low of your week? Now we got a ball game.
Right.
If it's just, hi, how are you? Like, that's not fulfilling
surface.
The commandments.
Yeah.
But to have an authentic relationship, an authentic conversation. And they may still creep you out afterwards, but you're obeying God.
Right. I love how you just said, too, you know, when you step out in obedience to maybe say sorry, really sorry, it's not our responsibility how they respond. That can be really difficult sometimes, don't you think? Because you feel like surely they're going to reciprocate in some sort of way, or, you know, it's going to be like this miraculous restored relationship, whatever.
Yes.
And sometimes it is, praise God, and sometimes it's not. And then it's like, what do you do after that? You
yes,
know?
You have all these alternate awesome endings,
yeah, exactly.
you know, and then you go to the Hyde Park and you hang
yeah.
out. But that usually doesn't work out that way. But what you said is I was obedient. Like
yeah.
I actually did the next thing. And God doesn't want us to take all the steps, just like the next step. And the next step is always towards.
Yeah.
And so there's something actually kind of beautiful in that. And the whole idea underlying this is that we're treating our life and our faith like it's an adventure instead of a business trip.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus didn't tell the guys, like, where are we going? We're like, can't say.
Right.
Where are we going to sleep? I can't say.
Yeah.
I think from everything I'm reading, Jesus knew, but he just wanted people to be invited on an adventure. Imagine you and I are driving
yeah.
down the road
yeah.
and our left rear wheel passes us in the fast lane.
Oh, no.
That would be a lousy business trip. That would be an awesome adventure.
Yeah.
And so when stuff goes a little wonky, be like, okay, we're off-road now.
Right.
We're like, this is the adventure part. We're starting a school in Afghanistan in a couple
yeah.
weeks. That's an adventure. Rounding
That's
up,
insane.
I know a total of nobody.
Seriously.
But I imagine, oh yeah, I don't know anybody. But I'll land there and then I'll meet some people. Some good guys, some bad guys, some undecided, no doubt.
Wow.
And so that's that idea, like just God really informs our faith on the move.
Yeah. So you have no connections there?
Surely yeah, we've got
some...
somebody that found the school
okay,
and we
okay.
rented the school and met with the leaders.
Yeah.
And so
but
we'll
still...
go to start. I'm not going over there to start a conversation. I'm going over there to start a school.
Right.
There's a big difference. I don't want to have a bunch of conversations.
Right.
I want to make a bunch of moves because that's what a movement is. It's just a bunch of people making moves.
Yes.
So for each person listening, make yours.
Yes.
And God, again, isn't wild when you go across the ocean. He's wild when you go across the street.
Yeah.
So
yes.
you don't get this like this. It sounds like it's more noble
right.
to go far away. But think of all the millions of people I'll fly right over the top of
right.
getting there. And if we're all tied for first in God's mind, like, I don't know, find somebody who's like difficult nearby.
Yeah.
They're there. It's just that you've been avoiding them. And I get it. It's self-preservation.
Right.
Who wants to do creepy stuff? Like, who wants to do that? Jesus probably didn't want to die from what I was reading. But he knew
yeah.
that was his father's destiny for him, that he would do what it took. And if that's what it took, he was in. And I want, if it's going to take engaging some people that are a little rough around the edges, I'm in.
Yeah.
People, like following Jesus means being constantly misunderstood.
Right.
Yeah, I used to be surprised when I was misunderstood. Now it's just like Tuesday.
Yeah.
And you don't have to call everything ministry either.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, we don't have to have these labels. Like Jesus didn't go on mission trip.
He just went
yeah. to the next place.
Right. Exactly.
When I think of missionaries, I think of like Spaniards that have the flu and all the indigenous people die. Like, so just go and love people.
Yeah.
Like that's your big trip.
Yeah.
And instead of ministry, just call it like Tuesday
yeah,
or Wednesday.
Yeah.
I had this stupid website because I'm learning the hard way. I said like saving a generation of Ugandans. I had a school with a couple hundred kids out of 41 million, hardly a generation. I was thinking, why do I have to overstate everything? Oh, there's another stupid page I've took down that said like serving the poorest of
yeah.
the poor. Like I'm stepping over poor people. Like, get out of here, you poser.
Oh.
I want the poorest of the poor.
You're not poor enough.
Like somehow that is more noble. Like the merely poor wouldn't be enough.
Right.
And so what I've tried to do is I realize I've been making everything about me and it'll never be about Jesus if we keep making everything about us.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Going back to this idea of not giving up. You obviously very graciously pursued your wife, and that went well.
Nothing gracious about it. Totally selfish on my part. I've
Fair
done
enough.
A lot of selfish things. That's the most selfish.
Okay.
But I got dibs
it
on her.
Worked out well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. Three kids later.
Yeah. And hopefully grandkids soon, right?
Soon. I'm waiting. Have you heard something I haven't heard?
Not yet.
They're not
yet,
expecting.
Right?
I am. I got my son and his wife a hotel room. I had some hoodies that said, make people.
Make babies. Not awkward at all for your daughter-in-law, probably,
I'm like,
right?
Whatever.
Okay, so, but you also talk in Love Does about when you did not get accepted to law school and were deterred. I mean, I remember telling Stefan, I cannot believe how long he went and go, because like, tell us the story.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I applied to all these law schools and wisely, they all said no. But there was this one school that hadn't gotten back to me one way or the other. So I went and I saw the dean and I told him, like, I've been reading these stories because faith's a big deal for me, about a centurion that told Jesus he's got a servant that's healed. And Jesus said, I'll come with you. And the centurion says, all you have to do is say the word. You don't even need to come. So I went to the dean and I said, I haven't gotten accepted, but all you'd have to do is say, go get your books and I'd be in. And so he's like walking me to the door. He's like, heck no. So he left, but I didn't, because there was a bench out in front of his in his office.
Yeah.
And so I sat there for the next 7 days.
Yeah.
Every time he walked out, I'm like, just tell me to get my books.
Even after school had started.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'm not even in law school and I'm behind. But it's just like, tell me to get my books. And on after 7 days, school had already started and I heard the footfall coming. And I had his schedule like totally wired by then. I'm like, well, it's a little early for his bathroom break, but he's had a lot of water. He opens the door, and I'm ready to say it, and he looks at me, he says, go get your books.
Wow.
That's how I got into law school. And the crazy thing is now I teach at Pepperdine Law School,
yeah,
at this top-tier law school, but I teach a class on failure. Isn't
Do
that
you
awesome?
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's only about failure. And every week I bring all of my friends who screwed up in front of Earth. One of my friends made the most viral video in the history of the internet, 100 million downloads in the first 5 days. And he called me up on the morning of the sixth day, invited me over for breakfast. We're sitting in his kitchen pounding waffles. And all of a sudden he got really weird and he ripped off all of his clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's
And
weird.
I'm holding on to him like, oh, buddy, we need to keep this party inside. And he ran out on a corner,
no,
and he melted down in front of 80 million people on TMZ. And mercifully, nobody knows I'm in every video holding his boxers.
No.
I'm like, buddy, we need to get you in these.
We're going to find that.
But I brought him to class. I just said, like, you know, just keep your clothes on, but tell us about you and what you're learning. And the crazy part is he realizes he's a new creation too. He doesn't think he's buck naked on the corner anymore. Mm. He sees what Jesus is doing in his life, and some of us don't.
Yeah.
We think of it, we're over-identifying with our past. We screwed up a relationship. We looked at something. We got into something we don't want anybody to know about. And we spent some time yesterday talking about how he calls us beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you listening, take your biggest screw up. And if you're not hearing beloved spoken over it right now, it ain't Jesus talking. I don't know who it is. I got some suspicions,
yeah,
but it ain't Jesus.
It's so true because I feel like, and it, as it relates to who it might be speaking, a lot of times it's us. You know
oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Or it's your the is you channeling your parents
yeah.
through you and like shaking a bony finger at yourself.
Yeah.
Knock it off. Stop it.
Exactly. Exactly.
See who God's turning you into.
Yeah. Okay. But for real, Bob, what in the world kept you asking that dean? How did you just have this conviction from God? Like, what made you think I'm going to keep going? Because most of us get the rejection letter, let alone him telling us 6 days in a row, no.
Oh, yeah. I keep talking to people and they say, well, like, I had this thing. I've wanted to do it ever since I was a kid. And then I asked Billy and Billy said no. So God shut the door. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that happened is Billy said no. God didn't shut a door. It's just like you just need to kick him down every once in a while.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think you need to get a restraining order issued against you, but I think you could be persistent.
Yeah.
Right? Like I was with Maria, with gentleness and respect, but tenacity.
Right.
Stay on it. You got something you've wanted to do. You feel like God's put that in your heart. Get after it.
Yeah.
Kim, don't take no for an answer, but don't take yes for an answer every time. I've got a lot of invitations of places you go like, oh, no, that's not where I'm going.
Yeah.
That ain't where I'm headed.
At what point, though, I mean, like day eight, would you have said maybe this, maybe I heard wrong, you know, like at what point do you say to yourself?
No, I'd still be sitting there.
You'd still be sitting there.
And this is 30 years later.
So is it just kind of like what you're talking about today? You just got to know what you want, you feel like?
Yeah, no, pick what you want.
Going?
Go after it.
Yeah.
Go okay. after it. And then God takes you on an adventure, not a business trip. You don't have it all lined up like an itinerary. And then what you do is you keep your eyes fixed on him while you're pursuing these beautiful dreams.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a radish and sometimes it's a pear.
Right. I'm sitting here trying to process, Bob. This is really, really good stuff. Okay. Can I ask you one leadership question and we will let you go? I want to know, because you just embody fun and life and encouragement and kindness and love, but you obviously have got these organizations that you've built and you have the Love Does. Is it just called Love Does?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were a lawyer for a long time, built that successfully. What do you do as a leader when somebody has screwed up? Can I just say it like that? Like, how do you deal with confrontation, both as a leader and as, you know, a parent? How do you deal with difficult situations, I should say?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I get it. I'm a pretty upbeat guy, as you've picked up on.
Right.
But if you hung out with me for a little bit, you'd realize I have left and right pockets like you do. But I cut out all my left pockets. Isn't that crazy? Even now, if I put my phone in my left pocket, there's no left pocket. If I put my phone in my left pocket, it'll end up in my socks. And the reason is this, that your faith and mine will be the sum of everything we're hanging on to and everything we're willing to let go of. So I would say if you're in leadership, if you're in relationship, if you're in whatever kind of ship you're in, that find your left pocket and let go of some of this stuff. So if somebody says something that wounds you, put it in your left pocket. I put my car keys in my left pocket sometimes without thinking about it. They're gone. I have to take Uber home.
Yeah.
Like, just left pocket. You need to let that stuff go. Some of us have filled up our right pocket with all this stuff. We can't let our high school sweetheart go and our whatever and some failure and some job that you didn't like anyway that you got fired from and walk around. It's like you're hoarders in your own life. You get so much stuff in your own living room, you can't even navigate it.
Yeah.
So let things go. Left pocket. It's only 18 inches between your left pocket and your right. 20 for me, but like 18 or 20 inches. And just move it just from the right pocket. This thing I'm hanging on to, that's not me. That's old Bob. He's on the bus. Left pocket.
Yeah. So, but say as a parent, your kid, you know, obviously in love, you discipline your kids. What did that look like for you? You know, so-and-so, you know, they lied or they stole something or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that kind of?
Yeah.
You know
when
we
were raising kids, we would engage them.
Yeah.
If something went awry, try to do something startling and unexpected. Because if it's the typical thing, you know, like, be more careful, all that. I've got a great example. When my daughter was born, Sweet Marie's in the delivery room, I wrote a letter to her. And I said, "Dear Lindsay, I forgive you for wrecking my car." Love, Dad. And I dated it. I put it in a pickle jar and I buried it. 18 years later, she wrecked my car. And you know what I did? I gave her a shovel. I told her where to dig.
No.
And she dug up this pickle jar. She's like, "Dad, you forgave me before I was born." I'm like, "Bingo." So that idea, geocache a little grace. If you're listening, go bury something in Hyde Park. You won't get arrested. Just bury something. I have stapled to my will all these latitude and longitudes. I go all over the world. I just bury stuff for my kids. I don't tell them what to do. I tell them who they are.
Yeah.
I go, "You're this guy. You're this woman of virtue. You're that man of valor."
Wow.
And so when I'm long gone, my kids will be digging that stuff up.
Wow.
So I would say that at the time, instead of like waving a bony finger at them and saying you should be more careful, give them a shovel. Let them find a pickle jar that you buried for your husband, your spouse, your kids, your boyfriend, like pick between them. But like just like literally find these people and geocache a little grace to say, "I forgive you."
Oh,
and I say,
gosh,
"I buried that for you 6 months ago."
Wow.
You could, if you're listening and you want to pay for your kids' student loans, just like put that in a jar. Just say, "I'm paying for all of your student loans."
Uh-huh.
And then if you change your mind, just don't tell them where it is. It's awesome.
That's so cool. Bob, I wish you were just more like Jesus, right? I'm looking at the other people in here. If Bob could just, I'm being sarcastic, just be a little bit more Jesus-like, right?
Oh, man, I'm just honored to be around everybody. And thank you for making Sweet Marie and I feel so welcome
here.
Oh,
my goodness.
She doesn't go places, as I was telling you, but she comes here because she knows the character of the people. She knows she won't be just invited. She'll be welcome.
Yeah.
And she feels really safe around you guys.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen. She gets invited hundreds and hundreds of places a year.
Wow.
She's come to two places. She went to Hillsong, Sydney. A couple of weeks ago, she came to Hillsong, London.
Wow.
That's it. You will not see her again. She's
How
like a unicorn.
We?
And so if you want to do something awesome for me, do something awesome for somebody I love. You want to do something awesome for God, do something awesome for somebody he loves, and it's everybody, even the creepy people.
That's so good. Oh, Bob, thank you. Thank you for being
here.
I'm just inspired and my wheels are spinning about how I can better love the people who creep me out and love the
go
people.
Go get a pickle jar.
Yeah,
today's your day.
I need to go get some pickle jars.
Yeah.
Do they even sell pickles here, you guys? Okay, I have not found. Do they sell zesty pickles here? Okay, people are looking at me like they don't know. Next time you come to the UK, can you bring some zesty?
Do that and some In-N-Out burger. We'll hook you up, girl.
Right?
Yeah.
Bob, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And till next time.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more about anything that we've talked about today, why don't you email us at convoswithkathy@hillsong.co.uk and join in the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Use the hashtag convoswithkathy. Until next time, see ya.